This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're good, brother, unless you got something else you want to get off your chest.
Nah, I don't got nothing to get off my chest, man. I just want to let Philly know I love him. And everybody who's making those rumors, hey, man, hey, you need to find another job, man.
That was A.J. Brown. And it's a good morning on Saturday. A little overcast. It's never overcast. Well, it is, depending on how you look at it, overcast when it comes to the Eagles. Good morning. An interesting week, but whenever Eagles conversation is part of what we do, it is always an interesting conversation. It was a week in the world of clickbait, which is a big part of what happens now in the media world. And I don't even know if it can be called media anymore. I know radio and television is media. Newspapers are media. Websites for newspapers are considered media. But some of the things that get rolled out there are just so much BS, and when they call those things reports, it is for social media, which is not social and it's not media. Reports, and I use that term in not even what it's supposed to really mean, are not reports. It's clickbait. It's attention grabbing. And in some cases, I won't say very few, but I'll say some cases, it may have some real legitimate substance. But those reports, they're not reports. It's just things thrown out there for clickbait, for attention, are embellished. They're over the top. Many of them are made up. And A.J. Brown called yesterday. He got tired of it. Obviously, he was tired of it, and he wanted to straighten things out. And one of the reports, which became an embellishment and an overstatement, was that A.J. Brown wanted to be traded. And A.J. Brown cleared it up yesterday. It was clearly speculation, and that's not what he said to anybody, anywhere. I mean, there were points on WIP where they were making up trade scenarios. You know, I get it. I get it. It's what talk radio is. But sometimes you got to say, you know, is this really true? Is this really true? And now, you know, I give A.J. Brown a lot of credit because, Some players, and sometimes it's better to just walk away and not address things. And sometimes it's good. And he wanted to try to clear, a few things up, more than a few things up, and he did. Give him credit. He tried to clear it up. Here's what's crazy. And when people say, and people talk about, well, he didn't want to talk to the media. I mean, I think it's great when players want to talk to the media, and it's not good when they don't want to talk to the media. But he had issues. It's obvious that he had issues. When he talks to them, they just start, I don't even want to use the word report anymore, they start talking about and writing about things that he said, which is not really what he tried to impress upon people. And one example, I remember the Seattle game. I think it took him a couple of weeks to speak. And Nick Sirianni, after the game, tried to cover up for a bad play when the interception was thrown at the end of the game by Jalen Hurts. And A.J. Brown came on and said, it was not the coach. That was not the case. You shouldn't blame the coach because it wasn't his fault. It was myself and Jalen Hurts. And people implied drawing up a play. I don't think they drew up a play. It was misinterpreted. I think that was one of the plays that he could have gone to. And the quarterback has the option to call, to check out of a play and call into another play. Now, what was bad about that? But it was a couple of things bad about that play, but A.J. Brown tried to clear it up that it was not the coach, but people wouldn't accept that. So they would still blame the coach. Then they started blaming the players for drawing up a play. I don't think they drew up a play. It was one of the options. It was a bad option because Jalen Hurts didn't see the safety, and there was double coverage, and it was the wrong play anyway. He should have thrown underneath to try to get in the field goal range. But that was magnified when A.J. Brown tried to clear it up. So I understand the things that he wants to say. Now, when he's upset on the sidelines, he says he's trying to make the players better. A player knows, and you can see it, and I see it, and people may, if they're looking at it, sometimes they'll see it, and you see it when you watch the tape after the game. There's players open, and I think he was upset because he was open and the quarterback didn't get it to him. That doesn't mean he's a bad guy, but sometimes, and I will say this, sometimes he's just got to kind of calm down. And he did one time, and on a sideline report, I reported it. What I tried to imply, one time he was open on a third down, and it wasn't this year, it was the previous year. And there was a pass thrown somewhere else and it was incomplete. And he came over to the sidelines, A.J. Brown, and he was upset. But he stayed to himself. He was upset. He slammed his helmet down. He sat down. He didn't go after anybody. He didn't address it. And I thought that was a good thing. And I tried to, in the report say, well, but he didn't go after anybody. He just tried to blow the steam off by himself. But he made a lot of great points, and we'll play a lot of what he said this morning because, what people were saying, was not accurate. I won't say it wasn't true, but it wasn't true. Well, there had to be something wrong in the locker room. I'm not in the locker room all the time. I'm in the locker room when we're permitted to be in the locker room. And I didn't see any problems. And you talk to players, and you see players, and you see them at times outside the locker room. And I didn't see any problems with players. Now, when you lose, players are pissed off and they're upset. And I can understand that. But he made a point that the locker room was fine. And that's the point that I tried to make. I didn't see problems in the locker room. The team just wasn't good enough. Their defense wasn't good enough. They couldn't tackle. I mean, we all talked about the fact that the Eagles had trouble tackling players. But there was always people would wanted to say, well, there's something else. There's something wrong in the locker room. Someone was on the other air the other day. Well, there had to be something wrong outside of the field. Well, that was wrong. He ripped me. Which is okay. I mean, people are allowed to criticize. I get criticized all the time. But people were angry with the fact that the Eagles just went into the toilet, basically. Oh, they were 10-1, so something had to happen. But that wasn't the ugliest 10-1, but it was an ugly 10-1. And we all knew that because we all talked about it. You know, they're just not playing up to the same level. Were they the best team in the NFL? And A.J. Brown tried to point that out yesterday. At 10-1, just because they had the best record doesn't mean they were the best team. That's not the case. You know, things that are said that are embellished. And the fact that we at WIP played what Craig Carton said and kind of assumed it was accurate. In many cases, we assumed it was accurate. It was so over the top, ridiculous, out of control nonsense. He made it sound like somebody was going to get arrested. It was so bad. And between a player and somebody, and that wasn't the case. So I tried to clarify it. And I like Craig Carton, by the way. I think he's a very talented guy. I really do like him. But, you know, he gets carried away, too, and he got carried away with, I don't know where he heard it or what he heard, but I try to make a point that multiple players, not a lot, but multiple players tried to talk to Jalen Hurts about his emotion, about the things that he doesn't do and he doesn't connect. He's just not a people person. But nobody complained when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl the year before. He was the same guy the year before that he was this year. But the team wasn't playing as well, and he wasn't playing as well. There's just a lot of things that weren't accurate, which were said on WIP and written and in Twitter, and so I'll say social media posts. The team just wasn't good enough. That's what it comes down to. Justin's back at the studio. Let's cut three from A.J. Brown. Let's play that. And we're going to go through a lot of the stuff that he said yesterday. And I want you to address it. I mean, he's obviously a stand-up guy. Is he perfect? No, he's not perfect. But cut three. Cut three. Let's hear cut three if you have it there. Justin, go ahead with it.
You realize people do want to understand you. Like, they do want to understand you. They do want to understand.
I don't think so. The stigma between what T.O. did here and like, they always trying to pinpoint that. No, they really don't. They just put me in this bubble with him or whatever he did in the past, and I know him. He's a great person. I'm not trying to talk bad at him, but mm-hmm. I'm my own person. I don't move like that. I don't do none of that stuff. Like, you can ask any of my teammates. That's the reason why I'm on the show today. Like, I'm the person who stands up to the bully. Like, I'm the person. And people don't really understand that. And when the play is needed, I'm the person saying, throw me the ball, I get us back going. Give me the ball. Like, I'm that person. But nobody sees that. Like, I give my team energy. I give my team this comfortability to tell them, all right, keep pushing. All right, we just had a bad play. So what? Move on. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the firm person in the group. But nobody really sees that. All you see is me getting upset or whatever the case may be. And like I said, I'm human. I may not do it the best way every single time, but that's who I am. That's who I'm forever going to be until I'm 6 feet under the ground. That's who I am. I'm not going to change who I am. So if you don't like it, you just don't like it, because you might as well get in line with the rest of the people. And I'm not just talking about you guys. I'm talking about the media and whoever else. Like, I'm my own person. And I'm not afraid to speak up. And that's what I think scares a lot of people. Because, like today, like, I had the boss to get on your show today. Like, I know my worth and I know what I bring to the table.
You know, he said a lot of things there, and I believe he's correct. And I covered, and let me clear this up, and he's not. And when they made the, when the comparisons, and I don't know who made him or how much it was really made of, compared him to T.O., T.O. was about himself. I don't think A.J. Brown is about himself. I think there's times, and he admitted at times that he's wrong, but he's not about himself. He's not T.O. I mean, I saw T.O., I covered T.O., and it was really all about T.O. And I don't think it's all about A.J. Brown. Yeah, is he unhappy when he's open and he doesn't get the ball? Yeah, he's unhappy. Should he be more under control? Yeah, I think he should be more in control, but that doesn't mean that he's divisive. But what people see are these five-second clips on television, these cutaways, and they just create an entire narrative about it. But I thought he explained himself well. People are going to say what they want to say. And the fact that he tried to clear it up was great yesterday on the afternoon show. It was great that he tried to clear it up and he tried to explain things. And, you know, it's just things that I've been trying to say, and I get a lot of crap for it, that it wasn't inside the locker room. It wasn't the fact that he and being traded was nonsense. They were just not a good team. Why can't people just understand they were not the same team the year before? They were the same personalities. A.J. Brown wasn't always happy when the year before when they went to the Super Bowl. There's other players that weren't always happy. But when you're winning, there's less unhappiness because there's less to complain about. It's just... it wasn't inside the locker room. They just weren't good enough. Why can't people understand that? Well, they were 10-1 and then they fell apart. Yeah, they played San Francisco and Dallas right after that. And those two teams, as it turns out, were better, especially San Francisco. They were better. It's just that's what it comes down to. All right, let me give you, and we'll deal with more of what A.J. Brown said. And I want to hear the things that that you think, you know, your feelings after hearing A.J. Brown, your feelings on whether it was clearly overstated, a lot of the things about what was going on with the football team. All right, 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. You know the numbers, and we'll get your responses. All right. We have a question today, which kind of deals with this, to try to win the $100 gift certificate from McGurk's. Great place to watch the games, terrific food. Everything about it is good. Locations in Horsham, Fort Washington, Lionville, another location to come soon. You will enjoy it whether you get the gift certificate or not. All right, here's the question. Pretty simple. Players that were misunderstood. Players that were misunderstood. All right? And I'm sure there's few that I don't remember, but I'm sure that you might remember, and we'll come up with what we think, myself, Justin Morgenstein back at the studio, what we think is the best answer. So, players that were misunderstood. But yeah, there's a lot to deal with. There really is a lot to deal with here, and there'll be more. And I do, I want to address something that my son said yesterday, which A.J. Brown, and I'll play that when we come back. I'll play what A.J. thought that my son was talking about him, and he was talking about me. I'm not angry. I just want to straighten it out. I'm not angry. Because at this point, I've been ripped and criticized in most cases that were not justified. Some cases you might say could have been justified, but that were not justified. But I learned how to deal with it. Sometimes players and there are people, and talking to Rob Thompson last week and that was great. When I was in Clearwater, and he was very, very honest. And we're not going to deal with that today, but he was extremely honest. But he knows what Philadelphia is, and that came up. When you sign up to be here in Philadelphia, you better know what you're signing up for. And sometimes, like AJ did, you want to try to straighten it out. And I think that's good. I think it's great, a stand-up guy. If people don't respect him more for what he did yesterday, then you just don't have a clue. All right, I'm Howard Eskin. We'll get right back, and we'll deal with all this stuff. And there's some other things I want to deal with, and we'll do that this morning. WIP, and the time now is 8:19. We can't get no satisfaction anywhere. Not when it comes to the Eagles. You know, it's amazing. The Phillies, by the way, they're going to be on WIP today at 1 o'clock, their first game of the season, but it's a preseason game this afternoon at 1 o'clock. The Phillies and Rob Thomson, and you know, we had some things to talk about with what Rob Thomson said last week, and that's great. And then all the Eagles stuff started up during the week. And the Sixers are like totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. They're irrelevant. And you know what? And I'm not saying they shouldn't be. But the reality is, it really is all about the Eagles. All right, we're going to play a lot of what A.J. Brown said yesterday on the afternoon show. Here, let's go with another comment. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We'll talk about it, and I'm going to talk about it after AJ. Go ahead with it, Justin.
I never blame the coaches. I'm not the person to blame the coach. I'm not trying to blame anyone. You know, I'm the guy who's going to look in the mirror and going to challenge everybody else. Like, it was the players not executing, and that's what happened. And if you look back closely, Ike said it a few seconds ago that we were playing like the best team in the league. No, we wasn't. We may have the best record in the league, but we wasn't playing like the best team in the league. It was like that all year.
Yeah,
but we were scratching away again, win. And so when stuff started to really unravel and stuff like that, stuff started to not go as planned. Then you saw what was happening. And then, like I said earlier, it was a domino effect, and it was trying to stop the bleed. And it was just everything was just going too fast.
You know, and I tried to say that, and people just, you know, I don't know if they screamed at me. Oh, you know, you're just covering up for the Eagles. It's just all about the Eagles. Let me make one thing clear. And this is where, when people say, oh, you just always cover up for the Eagles, their defense, how many times have I said it was brutal? Their quarterback took a big step backwards. I mean, that's a criticism. And it's an honest criticism, because we all saw that they didn't tackle well. Their defense didn't play well. They lost a lot of players. And when they were 10-1, we were still complaining, and rightfully so. You know, they were getting wins, but they weren't the best team in the league. And I tried to say that. and people, you know, jumped all over me too. Oh, it had to be something else. It had to be something else. No, it just, that's who they were. That's who they were. Now they beat Kansas City, and I targeted that game and thought they were going to win. It was revenge from the Super Bowl, which they should have won if they didn't make mistakes. Buffalo wasn't playing well at the time when they beat Buffalo, but they beat two good teams. But they weren't playing like they were the best team in the league. So, all right, we're going to get into all this, and I'm going to really deal with it with a lot of things that happened. All right, let's go to the phones. There's a lot of people out there. John, Philadelphia. Go ahead, John. You're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
First of all, I'd like to say, in reference to the A.J. Brown situation, I mean, I give the guy a lot of credit for coming on to try to straighten some things out. I think he's right on a couple of things. One is, you know, if the media doesn't have a story, they'll take bits and pieces of it and try to make a story, whether it's accurate or not. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, we as fans feed into those stories because that's all we have to go on. So I think in that case, he's probably a little bit right. What I took out of the A.J. Brown interview was two things. One is that he realizes that at 10-1, they had the best record last year, but they weren't the best team, so he realized there was improvement. Another thing I took out of it is he's extremely emotional, and a lot of the times, and I think he said it in the interview, a lot of the times the media will focus on his outburst, thinking that he's upset that he's not getting the ball, but what he's really trying to do is maybe he's trying to hold people accountable. So, I mean, you know.
And that's what he said. That's what he said. Not getting the ball is when you're open. I can understand. Dallas Goedert is one of the calmest people and one of the – they have a lot of good guys on that team. They do. And Dallas Goedert is one of them, clearly. And he was upset one time. Usually the tight end is open a lot, especially on a hot read. And Jalen – and I have no idea why he took a step back, and people want to blame the coaches. Players make plays. Players have to be accountable. And you know, people wanted to blame the coach, and Nick Sirianni's this, and he's an idiot, and he doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, and then Derek Gunn with that nonsense. Hey, listen, Big Dom is probably, in the position he's in, the best in the NFL at what he does. And he does a lot of things. He keeps a calm on the, but I think that was clearly overstated. I'm down there. I mean, I don't see everything, but I didn't see all that. But he keeps a calm everywhere. And he really takes care of a lot of things for that football team in a lot of ways. But embellishing it like Nick Sirianni's some kind of idiot. Nick Sirianni was the same guy when Dom was on the field and when he was off the field, and they went 10-1. Now it was a bad 10-1, and they went 10-1. And he was Nick Sirianni was the same guy when the Eagles got to the Super Bowl. It's just Nick Sirianni, I think, is a good coach. Now people say, "Oh, you just, you know, love the Eagles." That's nonsense. That's nonsense. All those years that I complained about Glenn Rivers, and then people got, "You just don't like the Sixers." The Eagles were the best team and have been the best team in this town over at least the last 6 years, and I don't think anybody can disagree with that. So, you know, I think the Phillies have played well at times. I didn't think they were ready for the World Series the last couple, ready to win a World Series the last couple of years. But I clearly don't think the Sixers are. I mean, that's a joke. You just don't like them. You always say good things about the Eagles. Eagles are the best team in the city for years. What am I saying that's not correct? They are good. Now, at times they play bad, and they fell apart because they weren't good enough. And you can complain about history, but a team that loses the Super Bowl has only been back to the Super Bowl the next year once in 29 years. There has to be a reason. They lose players, whatever it is. Hey, listen, do you have an answer or a thought on our question?
Just one more thing, Howard.
Sure.
I'm happy to hear that, you know, A.J. Brown wants to be in Philadelphia. He's not looking to go anywhere.
Yes.
So, okay. I mean, you know, that's important. And the player who I think is misunderstood, but he's not misunderstood now because we realize who he was, is Allen Iverson.
AI. Yeah. You know what? That's kind of an interesting thing. And AI gave me, it was nice. He was on a podcast with Shaq, and he gave me a shout out. Oh, no, you know, they were saying that, you know, when his practice news conference, that there was a reporter that was on him. And he said, somebody said, Eskin. And then he said, no, I love Howard. I love Howard. So he gave you a shout, but I'll put you in the mix. All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Howard.
Yeah, you got it. All right, let's go. Let's move on to Joe. Joe, what's going on in South Philly, Joe?
Good morning, King. Everything is everything.
Yep.
King,
go ahead.
Before I commence,
yeah, King, make it, don't go forever here. Go ahead.
All right. How did you make the jump from a disc jockey to hosting a sports talk?
Okay, because you saw the picture of Rod Stewart on Twitter and Facebook.
Sure.
Yeah. I had Rod Stewart on my radio show when I was a disc jockey. It was called Disc Jockey back at that time. But early in my career, I had the vision, and this is what kids to understand. Just because you want to do something doesn't mean that's the first thing you're going to do in whatever job you have. I had a vision, and I wanted to do sports, but I wanted to try to be in the business, so I did everything. I was a disc jockey. I was a staff announcer. I was an engineer in terms of running the controls for disc jockeys and a production engineer, producing commercials and those kind of, I worked at a classical station. I mean, I did it all. When I was a disc jockey, and that was part-time, I worked at a classical station during the week, and Rod Stewart came in to promote an album. But I always had the vision of getting into sports, and I just kind of grounded out and churned and did whatever I had to do. The fact that Rod Stewart didn't remember me, but he was on my show the day before he played a place in Maryland called the Wheaton Youth Center. It was 5 months before Maggie May came out, which really exploded for him. And the fact that he remembered, he said, no, it wasn't 50 years. It was over 50 years ago. It was crazy. But that's, you know, to explain my, I did anything I could to be in the business, knowing that I had the vision that I wanted to be in sports at some time.
It's an amazing story, King.
Yep, I just tried to do what I do. All right, what's up with you?
Well, King, you know, teams, you win as a team, you lose as a team. When it's going good, everybody's happy. Team starts to lose. Somebody points your finger. It starts.
Mm-hmm.
It's been that way forever. But was your question about the a player who's misunderstood?
Yes.
Well, we got one right here. Joel Embiid.
Why is he misunderstood?
Well, because the teammates are practicing. He's on the bench listening to the music. Teammates are practicing. He's eating a cheeseburger. And
well, I didn't see all that.
No, well, it's happened. And he's not a leader. Doesn't make the players around him better.
Well, yeah, so you're saying he's misunderstood in a negative way?
Absolutely.
He's not a leader. He's a very, very talented player, but he's not a leader. You're not going to win a championship.
That's
I don't think with Joel Embiid. But that's another. Let's not get into that now. That's a discussion for another time. And the Sixers won't tell you when he's really coming back, and they kind of have an idea. But season ticket invoices went out, playoff ticket invoices went out, and I think that's part of it.
One last thing.
All right, make it quick.
Teams in the NBA do not have to worry about the Bucks winning the championship, not with the doctor at the helm. Not going to happen.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the call.
And you'll see it.
Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to play more from AJ. Let's leave you with this. And let's play 11. You know, AJ addressing, I guess he addressed the reports. And Justin, play 11. And then we'll hear that. And then we'll hear more when we come back, too. All right. Go ahead. Let's roll that. Do you have that, Justin? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break, and we'll play it when we come back. All right. And we'll get back to the calls. And I want to do, I do want to address, and I'm not angry with my son, because, you know, we have disagreements at times. Kind of a stubborn guy, but that's all right. At times I'm stubborn too. But I want to address that, what he said about me, which AJ thought he said about him. All right, we'll be right back. WIP, and the time now is 8:37. Oh, it's apropos with what I'm about to play. All right, let's continue with.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of the things that AJ Brown said, and my son made comments which AJ thought were directed at him, and then my son came on the air yesterday and they were directed at me. So I want to address two things here. All right, let's hear from AJ Brown from yesterday afternoon.
I quoted a video yesterday when whatever some guy was talking about Philly media is the reason why I get paid to do this, and then right. I get cars and not nice houses and all that. Like, that's BS. Like, come on.
Yeah, and like, listen,
talk like that?
That's his personal opinion, and whether it's not anything that's factual or have you, but I can understand where that could certainly rub you the wrong way, or anybody else is being spoken about in that manner. But again, that's more or less in a generalization of just basically saying your fans and your media are a big reason why the sport is as popular that it is, and it generates the money that it does. So it's more or less in a generalizing situation that it, to your point, it certainly was directed from some of your actions, but I don't really think it was personal towards you, if that makes any sense.
Well, but it wasn't even directed at him. All right, so my son came on the air yesterday, and he clarified that was about me. And he didn't like, my son doesn't like at times if I'm critical of some of the things that are said on WIP. So he made a point, and this is from what I heard from him yesterday, that without WIP, I wouldn't have a house, I wouldn't have the cars, and I wouldn't have, and he mentioned Rolex watches, and I wouldn't have that. My son should know better. And I'm not mad at him. I mean, he's just sometimes doesn't know what he's talking about. I was successful before I came to WIP. I did a talk show on an FM station before WIP, and that led to Channel 3 calling me up, asking me if I'd do sports for them on a weekly, you know, during the week and be their sportscaster. That led to that job. So I had a successful career in television before WIP. And the Channel 3 situation led to Channel 29 calling me, getting in touch with me when my Channel 3 contract was running out, just so by coincidence running out, and asking me to be an anchor to start their 10 o'clock news, and got a nice contract from them. And then that's how WIP started, because I only did a 10 o'clock news with me. That's how it started, and that's when I did the first sports talk show in August of 1986. But I was successful before WIP, so it's not WIP that got me all those things. And I worked my ass off, and I worked hard to get where I've gotten today. And again, I'm not mad. I just don't consider this being mad at my son, because he doesn't know what he's talking about. But in that case, he didn't know what he was talking about. So I worked hard so I could support a family, send my kids, all five of them, to private school and college. And I worked hard to do that. And I did it for, obviously, I wanted to be successful, but I did it for them. But I had that success before WIP. WIP was part, and it was a huge part of what I've done and my success. So I just wanted to kind of clear that up and straighten that out for my son. Because, and I wouldn't have said this if he didn't make those comments on the air yesterday. It's just, hey, listen, I'm just trying to be me. I mean, what can I tell you? I mean, I'm just trying to be who I am and try to be as good as I am and try to work as hard as I can. Drew, you're on WIP. Hey, Drew.
Good morning, Howard.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to take up much time today. I just want to say, you know, as a Philly sports fan for decades now, it's annoying and frustrating that you even have to spend the time that you do on the soap opera crap, you know, and not just be able to get up and talk about whatever the teams are doing, you know, the Sixers, Flyers. Well,
There's going to be criticisms. I mean, we know that. I mean, it's an opinion, and I try to base an opinion on talking to people and finding out what might really be happening and what really is going on. And obviously my opinion when I watch players and I know what they do and they don't do.
Yeah. And just, you know, and that's what we should be talking about. But mm-hmm. instead, you know, we have to spend too much time responding to and talking about and dealing with all the, you know, the theories.
How many people, how many people rip me, not criticize me, rip me for my opinions about Ben Simmons when I knew and I checked, he really didn't work on improving his game. And all these people, oh, he's a generational player. And now, you know, and I had to take crap for a while until people realized, you know what, he's not that good a player. But I'm not going to change. And in the case of, I'm just going to be honest. And in the case of A.J. Brown, he came on and he was honest about his feelings and about what really was going on or not going on. They just weren't good enough. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and Howard, that last point you were talking about with Spike, I mean, regardless of whether he's right or wrong, you know, in terms of, you know, what he said about you and why you have what you have, et cetera, regardless of that, you know, why should that mean, even if he was right, why should that mean that you should just, you know, toe the party line or not come out and speak honestly when you feel like what you're hearing on your own station, you know, is off target? Or it makes no sense to me. So, you know, that we as listeners and fans wouldn't want you to be honest and speak your opinion about whether it's a team, a player, or what's being said by someone else on this radio station. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. All right, a player that's misunderstood. Do you have a thought?
Yeah, I mean, and to be the most misunderstood, to me, there has to be evidence that you, in fact, were misunderstood. And I think Bryce Harper is a player who, you know, early on in his career was perceived certain ways. And now since he's been here and we've gotten to know him, I mean, I think he's proven that he was misunderstood. And so I don't know maybe he's not misunderstood anymore, but I think he can fit in that category.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Drew. Have a great weekend. Yeah. You know, Bryce Harper, it's interesting. He's not misunderstood when he, and I think it was Scott Boras's idea, his agent, and he's going along with it. And that's a mistake by Bryce. He should just let it go. He's got 8 years left on a contract. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I go back to you. My dad used to take me to see you with the Ribbit back in the day.
Boy, that was a place I did a remote. Great place.
Yeah.
All kinds of things happen at the Ribbit.
Well, I'm glad I'm talking to you because you're intelligent. I would like the Phillies to maybe trade for the closer from the Indians or the Guardians, whatever they're called.
Yeah, but they want Crawford, and the Phillies are not going to give up Crawford. They're not.
Prospects are prospects. I mean,
They really project him to be really, it's going to be really good. And it might take a year, but he's going to be really good.
What's your take on Jordan Montgomery?
Well, they don't need him now because they that would put too many left-handers. He would replace Taiwan Walker. Then you'd have three left-handers in the rotation.
Yeah. But real quick, I think who needs the misunderstood athlete for me is Mike Schmidt.
That's interesting because you know what? That actually is a good one because people thought he was aloof and not emotional, and that's just the way he played.
Played because he was so great. It was easy for him.
Well, and let me give you a little background because I knew his family and I knew his mother and father, and his father, it was just like Mike. His father was very quiet, didn't say a whole lot. That's who Mike was. Mike Schmidt said to me one time, he said, I was not the kind of athlete that really could play in Philadelphia because I didn't understand it. And he was right because he just because he was unemotional, they didn't think he cared. Man, you don't hit in the days when 500 home runs actually meant something. Now small ballparks, juiced up balls and bats, and you know all that kind of nonsense. But he did that. He was he's the best third baseman that ever played the game of baseball. You can't be that good. And he didn't hang on for the money. When he knew he couldn't play anymore, that's when he said, "I'm done." He knew he couldn't play anymore, and he said,
he could have stuck around to try to get 600 home runs, but he left. I respect that.
Yeah.
But I think who deserves to get a little bit of credit are the Flyers. Jonesy and Briere have done a hell of a job.
Absolutely right. And I've said, and I've been on record as saying, I think they, and I don't think it's anytime soon, they will win a championship before the 76ers because
the Sixers are irrelevant. You got your son and them thinking that the process was some great thing. It wasn't.
Joke. Yeah, I know. It's just, hey, I appreciate the call. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Howard.
All right, let's go to Tom in Alabama. Yo, Tom.
Howard, how are you, my man?
I've never had a bad day in my life.
Hey, I've been calling for over 13 years, and I just want to say thank you for being kind, a professional, and nothing but class. I really appreciate it.
Not everybody thinks that, but that's, hey, listen, I have strong opinions, but I try to do a lot of things. I try to help. You know, whether it's the Eagles Autism Foundation, which I got to start getting on the stick and raising some more money for that, whether it's the two SPCAs that I raise money for in the Philadelphia or in the Philadelphia area, Brandywine Valley SPCA and Providence Animal Center. And I do that on my website. It's just whatever it is, you know, I just try to help. I mean, it's just I am who I am, but I still try to help. People and organizations and
hey, I got your back for the rest of time. I'm right here, a phone call away. Not that you would need it, but I'd be on the first plane out.
Okay. All right. What'd you want to say about the Eagles?
Well, I think that showed a lot of guts. I probably wouldn't have did it, and I thought it was a ploy. I didn't think that he would call in Brown, and it shows me a couple things. I read into him. I saw him after an interview after a game this year, and he was well-spoken. He was calm. He seemed like a classy individual. It seems like money hasn't gotten the best of him, too. You know, it seems like he wears it. And that's what we need in the city. I mean, if we're going to get back to another world championship, whether it be one of the four, and, you know, I mean, the guy stepped up. At least he's tried to do something to solve what's, you know, all the smoke and you know, whatever's going on over there, you know? What more can you ask for someone, you know?
You know, he had the guts to do it, and he had the gumption, and he cleared up a lot of things, which, you know, again, when people go on the air and they say, well, reports, it's not a report, it's a social media post, basically. You know, and even when people say it on the air or on their podcast or whatever it is, in many cases, not all cases, in many cases, it's nonsense. And then it gets embellished even more because we at WIP play those comments and then we address those comments. And in some cases, we address them as being accurate and real. And that's BS. So I just try to, you know, clarify it. And, you know, people at the station get mad at me, and I'm just trying to clarify it. That's all. And you can't always just think that when somebody says something and we play it, that it's correct. That's all. And that's what talk radio is. Let's say I understand what talk radio is, but I can't always be that way. I can have strong opinions, but I try to get to the truth. That's all. I'm just trying to get to the truth. That's all.
That's all. I've tried to pride myself over 13 years is calling it straight, whether it be good or bad. And, you know, it says something about you. And I appreciate the job you've done. And, you know, I'm proud of everyone at WIP. I can't tell you how much.
That's great. I mean, at WIP, hey, listen, I've been working at WIP more than half my life. Think about that. More than half my life I've been working here. So obviously, if I didn't want to do it, I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. I mean, it's that simple. Hey, Tom, give me a player that's misunderstood.
Can it be someone of current or?
You can be anybody you want. Anybody you want.
Muhammad Ali.
You know, it's kind of an interesting answer. And he was a great guy. I've had him on my radio show.
You've done everything, Howard.
Yeah. What's that?
You've done everything.
I have Rod Stewart on my radio show over 50 years ago, and then I've had Muhammad Ali on.
Keep coming, okay? Just keep bringing hell, all right?
All right. Hey, have a great weekend. Thanks, Tom.
You too, brother.
We'll be right back. We're going to go over more of this and more from A.J. Brown from yesterday. The time now is 8:57. '94 WIP hour number 2. I could go 10 hours today, and I'd have no problem working 10 hours today. But Phillies baseball's at 1 o'clock. So obviously we have to get into that. And it's the first game, so it's exciting for a lot of people. But I've gotten a lot of nice messages from people. And I'm going to, first of all, I really enjoy doing what I'm doing. And, I mean, I don't know where I became who I was and what I did and trying to do it right. I have fun breaking stories. I have fun trying to dig deep to find out what really is going on. And I've been criticized for that. But I can't help trying to work hard and do it the right way. I can't say anything more. And I appreciate all the people I work for, whether it was the station that I first did, CAU Radio, which was 1210 at the time, even stations before that, which were outside of the area. I worked for KYW Radio at one time, you know, operating the controls, not for a long time, WWDB. Channel 3 when they called me, Channel 29 when they got in touch with me to work there, WIP for sure. I can't say that I would have done anything different. And there was one station I worked for early in my career where I made $1.60 an hour, and I was so happy because I was in the business. I was a disc jockey there too. I can't say enough, but I just try to be real and who I am. And people don't like that. I can't help that, but I'm not going to change. And I'm just going to try to be the person I am and help people and be honest with people. Keeping it real for real, as Allen Iverson once said. I got a text, and I'm going to read it. I'm not going to say who it is. The fellow who's made donations to the Eagles Autism Challenge, and that's how I got to know him. Howard, you are successful for all the reasons you said. You work hard, and you are super talented. Your commitment to trying to be fair and getting it right is why I have been loyal to you for years. Don't change. You are so important to the sports scene here in Philadelphia. Thanks for all you do. Be who you are. You know, it's nice. And I just met this fellow last year when he made a donation, and we played golf for a donation to Eagles Autism Challenge. I mean, those are the things that I just try to do, and I'm not going to change. All right, let's hear more from A.J. Brown on his He was on yesterday on the afternoon show on his relationship with Jalen Hurts. Go ahead with that.
The relationship between you and Jalen, right? I remember last year when you, maybe it was the year before that, when you got traded for and you and Jalen FaceTiming each other, and we know how close you guys are and everything of that nature. And it just seems from the outside that maybe there could be something with you two's relationship and whether or not that's an issue. Your, what do you say to that?
You know, I think that's total BS. You know, I'm not going to get into me and his relationship on the air, but it's total BS. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a problem when I was on my sixth game streak. They wasn't talking about that then. So they only started talking about that when we started losing. So, of course, yeah, you see friction. You see friction from everybody, from the coaches, the players, from everybody. So, yeah, so there you go.
All right. It's just, again, something else that was overstated. And who knew? Because Jalen Hurts doesn't share things. And that he's got to be a little more forthcoming with the media and certainly with his teammates. I think he's got to be more of that. But sometimes it's hard to change your personality which I guess it was the way he was raised and the way he was coached. And I think Nick Saban was terrible for Jalen Hurts because he doesn't trust the media, Nick Saban, and then he created Jalen Hurts being that way. But I'm so glad that A.J. Brown stepped up and did what he did yesterday and tried to clarify a lot of this BS and nonsense. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. I listened to A.J. and I think he cleared it up best as anybody yet since it occurred, the loss of the games in the season. Other than that, as far as the Sixers, no, I don't see anything.
I was going to play a comment from Nick Nurse, but I this is not the day, from the other night when they lost to the Knicks, and he said they were lazy and lackadaisical. How does that happen after an All-Star break against a rival, a team you need to beat? If Glenn Rivers or Nick Sirianni said that about their teams, we'd bury them. We would bury them. And Nick Nurse should have been buried that night for – wait a minute. Not buried. He should have been questioned about it. And the soft media I wasn't there after the game – and there was not one question. Wait a minute, Nick, you just came off the All-Star break. But again, if it was Nick Sirianni, we would have been at him with both barrels, and I would have asked him the question, how can that happen after a break and you're playing a team that you need to beat who's a rival? How can that happen? But there was not one question about that. That's what? Pathetic.
Go ahead and play. Is it producer-wise you can't get it?
So I'm calling out that media, too. Those media guys, hey, get some balls, will you? I mean, jeez.
I'm serious. You can't play that today?
I will play it. Did you want to say something about A.J. Brown?
No, I think he's an asset to the team. I always wanted him here.
Yeah.
I watched when he went to Tennessee, and I was disappointed that, you know, the Eagles weren't in the mix for him. But I was disappointed he couldn't have been here. And so when he came here, I was glad to see him. I think he's a great player, and I'm glad to hear he wants to stay. Other than that, I really don't have much.
All right. So give me your most understood player.
The Flyers, I agree about the championship before the Sixers. Not Muhammad Ali. I was going to say him. Colin Kaepernick.
I don't know if he's misunderstood. I think we understand him perfectly, but that's all right. Hey, Steve, I appreciate the call.
All right, talk to you later.
Only because Steve asked for it. I didn't want to really. I wanted to get into it, and then all this A.J. Brown stuff came up. Nick Nurse, the night that they got buried by the Knicks. Oh, they made a run in the third quarter. When you're down by 21, the other team kind of takes their foot off the pedal a little bit too. And it was Kyle Lowry's first game. I get it. But when he came out with this comment to open his news conference the other night, it was a joke. And the only reason I'm going to play this is because if it was Glenn Rivers when he was coaching or if it was Nick Sirianni with the Eagles, they would have been crucified. All right, listen to Nick Nurse after they got buried by the Knicks after an All-Star break and against a rival team.
Lack of focus. Right, just we just weren't getting anything done on the defensive scheme side of the things, and they were just out playing a lot faster, a lot more physical, a lot harder. We were just lack of focus and lack of just being ready to go.
You know, that's a joke. How can you not be ready to go? But again, I'm only playing that because if it was another coach, we wouldn't have accepted that. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Matt. Matt, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, good to talk to you. Two quick things before I get into my sports point and your question.
Sure.
Daryl Morey's a fraud, and Wakeby won the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals.
Who's a fraud?
Start. Daryl Morey.
Oh, okay.
And
second
thing, my wife called you like a month ago, Carla from Germantown, and I told her to call. She thinks you're completely obnoxious. I'm like, you got to listen to him. And you're really friendly.
That's right.
And it was a really good call. And, you know, I hope she's listening right now because she's kind of mad at me right now. But real quick, A.J. Brown and today.
She'll get over it.
Yeah. Today's world of, you know, Twitter and stuff, you know, like they grew up with it. All the noise that's created. You know, the fact that he didn't talk for a while was a good thing. A lot of young guys.
Well, he explained that. He felt it would only make it worse, basically.
You know what? How many times do we look at people and say, like, you know what? Especially don't say anything in today's world. And he's smart enough not to. And, hey, listen, the question that you asked, I've been wanting to win one of these things for a while.
Yeah, and it's the question to
answer.
Win the $100 gift certificate.
Mike Schmidt was a really good
place.
Answer.
Yeah, understood player is who?
Charles Barkley. Back in his time, the 80s, when – people were a lot less sensitive and more prejudiced, to be quite frank. Look, what he said, thought it was a racist city. People would be like, he spit on the girl, but they didn't know the backstory. He got through a plate glass window, but their mouth off would buy anyone a beer. We all know that today, but at that time, you know, a lot of people didn't understand him at all. And you did. You had a little peep into it, and we all do now. But, you know, that's why I hate white people. I mean, AI didn't say a lot of people. He was misunderstood in the fact that, you know, he just did stuff. You're like, man, that's, you know, he don't say anything.
Yeah, he's, you know, it's
there's
a few guys that could fit into this thing. Hey, Matt, tell your wife I said hello, would you please?
I absolutely will. And I'll tell you what, she's obnoxious too. That's why she finds you completely obnoxious, which is great. But I'll have her call again.
Okay.
But yeah, appreciate
all
it.
Right,
I want to win that thing. Charles Barkley, most misunderstood, absolutely.
You got it. I got you. I got you, Dan. All right, thanks for the call. Let's play another comment from A.J. Brown where he said he wants to be an Eagle. That's number 14, Justin. Go ahead with that if you got it there. Oh, okay. That was misunderstood. That wasn't stated properly. All right, let's hear from A.J. Brown from yesterday.
Quite frankly, brother, whether you believe it or not, people want you here for the rest of your career. They don't want you playing anywhere else. They want you to retire in this Eagles uniform.
That's what, honestly, and like I said the other day, listen, I can have plans, but I also know it's a business, but I can tell you this, I want to be here, and that's all I can say. So yeah.
All right, you know what? He wants to be here. Ike was one of the guys who was working up a trade to trade him. I'm not speaking out of school. That was fact. Ike was one of the guys that had a trade worked out to trade him. So, you know, sometimes you got to, hey, listen, sometimes you got to own what you say. All right, let's go to Jim and Delco. Jim, you're on WIP.
Or how are you doing? I don't know if
Never
it was
had
in
a
the
bad
80s,
day in my life,
where
Jim.
Where were you working then?
What's that?
1980, 1979.
Where is that? What are you talking about?
You were on like a show. Well, that's when I first started listening to you.
Oh, yeah.
It was 6
a station
o'clock
call
at
letters
night,
with WWDB. That was back
that's
in 79
They had
to
a bunch
82.
Of venues.
96.5, which that state, that frequency is now owned by this company, Odyssey.
I thought
which is
so,
crazy.
Yeah. So you,
what
I listened to you back then, and I used to have a love-hate relationship with you. I used to say to people, I love to hate you. But I really do love you, Howard. You know, I listened to you since way back, and you know. But maybe you can help me out with my you know, most misunderstood player. Does he like to be called? Did he like to be called Dick Allen or Richard Allen?
You know what? I always called him Richie. You know, because when I was a kid, I loved Richie. I mean, I loved Richie Allen.
Yeah, me too.
He was such a great player. But then all of a sudden, he decided to be called Dick. I never, even when I saw him, when he came back to the reunions. When he came back to the reunions, I always said Richie. I always called, and he never was offended by that because I just, it was locked into my head. Once you know a guy by his name, it was locked into my head. Rich or Richie, I would call him.
I don't know if you ever watched the movie The Green Book. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think so.
It's a good movie. You ought to get it. But anyway, back when, I guess it was the late 50s or early 60s, there was like three black players on the Phillies, and Richie Allen being one of them. I don't know who the other two were. But they went down like Washington or Baltimore or something, and they go into the hotel and
I know all the stories.
So you know this story, like so, you know. I mean, they told him that he had to go down and sleep in the basement with these cots, and he said, "No, give me the green."
Yeah, there was a lot of bad things because our country has gotten better, not good enough. It's much better, but there's still work. Let's put it this way: there's still work ahead to stop racism, but I don't think it exists as much in sports.
It's,
I mean, there's a little
better.
Bit of it, but not as much. So who's your most understood player? Is Richie Allen?
Richie Allen. Okay. I mean, did maybe something else. I don't want to take up
that's
much
actually,
of your time.
But that's actually a good one.
Did he kill a pigeon? Like, did he hit a ball so hard and it hit a pigeon and killed it in the air?
I don't know if it was.
Do you remember that story?
I remember who was it? Randy Johnson threw a pitch and killed a pigeon. I don't know if Dick Allen killed a pigeon.
I always thought
baseball.
It was Dick Allen. But anyway, he always got creamed in the papers back then,
right.
And they kind of ran him out of town.
You're from Delco there, big guy?
I grew up in Bucks County, Levittown, but I'm down in Delco for the last 46 years.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Hey, Jim, thanks for the call.
And all right, great listening to you. I'll keep on listening the rest of my life. I'll see you.
Thanks, man, and hopefully you live a long, long time. We're going to talk more about A.J. Brown and play some of the other things that he said yesterday and your thoughts, and there's a lot of people that want to talk about it too, and maybe you now appreciate A.J. Brown. There were people that wanted to get him traded. I mean, there's no question there was people that wanted to get him traded, but he's a good player, and he explained himself. Sometimes you got to calm down a little bit. I will say that. And I think he probably knows that. And if you're going to blow off steam, you blow it off by yourself, like I saw him do one time, and he'll do that. Jim out of Delco, and I'm going to give a shout out because I'm going to give a shout out. I'm in Delco, and I hadn't been there for a long time. Pika's Restaurant. Went there the other night for dinner. One of the owners, Angela, was sensational. The people there were sensational. And the food was really, really good. And the portions, it's too bad I'm not as big as I used to be because I could have eaten all of it. It was so good. And I just wanted to give them a shout out because they were in Delco and Jim called from Delco and it just came to mind. But thank you to those people. And there's some good things going on in Delco. I'm Howard Eskin. We'll get back with more. You got the numbers. We got people on the lines. We're going to get to you. And our question to try to win the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's, players that are, or you can even say a coach or manager that's misunderstood. WIP and the time now is 9:20. WIP. And my son will be back. Working the afternoon show coming up. I mean, they got to find a replacement for him in New York, and so I'm happy for him there. I think he's ill-advised when he criticized me for being critical of some of the things that are said on WIP, and AJ thought it was him that he was criticizing. Well, because of WIP, I have houses and cars and Rolex watches. I mean, I was successful before WIP. doing radio and TV. And then WIP became a part of what I've been doing, and I consider success, and I'm happy for that. But, you know, he better understand before he spouts out things. Obviously, he didn't know that the Sixers situation was a joke, that the process was a disgrace. It was a Ponzi scheme. So, you know, I tried to straighten him out on that, and I couldn't. But, hey, listen, I just tried to work hard. It had nothing to do, what has everything to do with being successful, but work hard, do what I feel is right. And, you know, I obviously had to support a family, and I'm happy. I'm really happy that I could send my kids to school, and almost all of them went to private school, and all of them went to college. And I'm happy I could do that. And that's, you know, I worked because I wanted to work hard, and I wanted to be successful and supporting those people. But he's got to understand, it's not, WIP didn't make me. We made each other. And I think that's the way to try to look at it. All right, let's play some more from A.J. Brown from yesterday. The reason, I think, Justin, we decided on the reason he didn't talk to the media. Is that what we decided on?
Yes.
All right, let's go with that.
We asked, like I said, I thought the biggest questions people wanted to know, AJ, is your happiness with being here in Philadelphia.
So why would somebody even think that I wasn't even happy?
Well, I mean, you didn't talk to the media for a little bit there, and
I mean, you wonder why. You see what the media is doing right now, this past whole month. You wonder why I'm not talking to them. I don't want to talk to them because, no matter what I say, you guys gonna make a story anyway and pinpoint it however you want to pinpoint it. So, and it was turning to a fact because it was turning to AJ upset at the Eagles. Not the Eagles are upset or no. It was always AJ and it was always that narrative. And I didn't want to do my teammates like that. So yeah. So I thought at the time was not talking was the best thing for the team. Because I didn't want to compound a negative with a negative. You guys see what was going on. We all frustrated, but it ain't nothing we can do about it but go to work, and that's what I was trying to do.
You know, I kind of respect that. We all wanted him to talk, and I remember when he talked about the Seattle game, that was kind of, you know, driven in a different direction, and he just tried to explain it and tried to explain that it wasn't the coach. And everybody, you know, oh, they don't like the coach, they don't like this. They were 10-1, but they weren't the best team in football. And A.J. Brown said that. And I've tried to say that. And they just weren't good enough. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They weren't good enough. And everybody said, oh, there has to be something wrong in the locker room. No. You know, and these stories are just, like, so overstated. It's just, it's brutal. But I try to find out, and it just... And AJ, I give him a lot of credit for stepping up and trying to explain things. Let's go to Frank. Frank, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. How you doing, man?
I'm terrific. Another day in paradise.
I hear you. First, I just wanted to call. I don't know. It was like about an hour ago. I don't know what it is with these older gentlemen calling in at 8 in the morning who have definitely been tying a few on.
I don't know about that.
But he was saying that Joel Embiid was misunderstood because he was sitting around eating donuts and cakes on the sidelines.
Yeah, I never saw that. But I will say this. I don't think Joel Embiid is a leader. I think he cares more about himself than he does his team, although he'll say he'll care about his team. But the reality is he's very, very, very talented. But you got to have a little bit more in you.
I agree. And, yeah, I agree. That's all. He's very obsessed with his stats and all.
Yes, he was.
Time,
he clearly was.
He's out there playing with a broken orbital twice, a concussion. He has knee
problems. No. He wasn't playing. That's where you're out of line. He wasn't or misinformed. He wasn't playing with a concussion.
When he had the one broken orbital, he had a concussion. He had to sit out a few days because of the concussion.
Well, yeah, but he didn't play with the concussion.
Well, yeah, because you can't. It's illegal.
Well, yeah, so he didn't play with a concussion.
Serious.
Yeah, but he didn't play with a concussion. All right, Frank, who's your most understood player?
T.O., because he went out there with a broken leg, and he still did his job. Meanwhile, Don McNabb's vomited in the huddle, and he's going out and partying the night before, throwing dirt balls.
Who's that?
Yeah, you could have put a better QB in there. Look at Andy Reid now. You put a better QB in there.
I know. Boy, you're all over the place, Frank. But, Frank, how about this? I appreciate your call. All right, let's move on, and let's go to Peter in North Carolina. What's happening, Peter?
Hey, good morning, Howard. It's a pleasure talking to you. I've been listening to you since I worked up in Philly in the early 90s, and you're just fantastic, and I love the balls that you have to tell it like it is. I grew up in Washington, D.C. I'm a Commanders fan. You know, a couple of months ago, you were talking about the ownership of the Sixers, you know, now owning the Commanders and that they weren't that good. And I'm thinking, you know, Howard must know something. And so I kind of talked about that on the radio. I listen to a lot of radio shows. I talked about that on the radio in D.C., and they were like, well, you know, Howard, he's from Philadelphia. And I said, no, this man has been around forever. He knows sports, and I have so much respect for you, and I still don't know if the Commanders are going to be any good, and who knows.
Well, I will say this. I wouldn't have confidence in the ownership, because Josh Harris's passion is to make money. We could see with the Sixers, his passion is not to win. He could say he wants to win, but he's more passionate making money. They've already raised ticket prices for the Sixers next year, and the Washington football team he raised prices for, and Washington stinks.
Yeah, they do.
All they care about is their arena, which will be a financial, absolute financial disaster for the city of Philadelphia. And hopefully the new mayor, Sherelle Parker, has some sense and doesn't feel obligated to the building and trade unions. If they build an arena somewhere else, they're still going to build an arena. They don't have to do it down there. It would be horrible for so many reasons for Philadelphia. But whatever, that's all they care about, because it increases the value of their team. And that's what he wants. He wants a new stadium in Washington, but that ain't going to happen for a while. But
yeah,
whatever.
It's going to be many years.
You're not going to win. I mean, the Eagles ought to be happy that he owns Washington, because he can screw up that franchise too.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to make it any worse than it is, I tell you that. But you never know. But anyway, so Howard, it's an honor. I just love you. Wherever I can hear you, I thank God for Odyssey. I listen to you every Saturday, and I appreciate everything you do. And my most understood
terrific
athlete.
Company, terrific company with all the things they do for us.
Absolutely,
yes.
It's just a great. It's free. It's just beautiful. But my most understood athlete, in my opinion, is Donovan McNabb. It's funny the guy said about that, because I actually thought he was a really good quarterback. And really, back in those days, and I could be wrong, but just my opinion, he really was the team. He really was.
Yeah, he was. You know, he probably, in the franchise's history right now, he's probably the best quarterback. However, he worried too much about outside noise. And if he didn't worry about that, he would have been not a really, really, really good quarterback. He would have been a great quarterback. But, you know, and I knew Donovan before he came to the Eagles. Not well. I met him. Let's put it that way. He actually was in the same class as my son at Syracuse, which was crazy. He met him before I did. But Donovan just, he couldn't handle what people said about him. But anyway, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling, Peter. And you have a great weekend. All right.
Thank
take
you.
Care. All right. There's more callers, and there's more people that want to talk about AJ. Oh, I see Chuck's on the line. Chuck. Chuck's got a lot of nonsense, but we'll get to Chuck. Let me play one more comment before we take a break from AJ Brown. And it was the one with, we haven't played the relationship with Jalen yet, right, Justin?
Yeah, we're going to talk, play the one about his leadership.
Oh, okay. About his leadership. Go ahead.
There's been a lot of reports about people within the Eagles thinking that Jalen needs to be more vocal as a leader on this team. I just want to give you the opportunity. You know him better than a lot of people. Do you agree with that, or is that something that you don't think is needed?
Listen, Jalen is himself. I don't agree or disagree. He's going to be himself, and I'm not the person to try to change him to be something that he's not, or whatever the case may be. But when things were going really good, you didn't hear those reports. You know, a lot of stuff happened. I mean, the season pulled everybody every which way. You know, it was ups, it was downs, it was more downs than ups. But it started off ups, and And now everybody's scratching, everybody pulling, everybody just trying to see what's going on. But when we was winning, we was 10-1 or whatever, you saw the same reaction him on the sideline. But when we started losing, you still saw the same reaction. So how can you get upset at the same person who was doing the same thing? But a couple months ago or whatever, he was the greatest leader for this organization. So like I said, man, listen. I don't agree or disagree because he's going to be himself, and I want him to be himself. I don't want him to be nobody but himself, because if he's not, he's not authentic.
You know, it's interesting that what he said and the thing that hits home, and I tried to make that point. Last year when they went to the Super Bowl, nobody complained. However, Jalen does have to change. He has to become more emotional and more connected to more of his teammates, and he has to do that. But AJ's point is absolutely correct. When you win, you know, nobody cares about those things. But they didn't win. And sometimes if he was better at doing some other things, maybe it would have been a little bit better for the team. But we'll talk more about that when we come back, and we'll get back to the phones. The time now is 9:39. It's an A.J. Brown kind of day. You got to respect a guy like that. It steps up, not afraid to deal with it, but he got tired of hearing a lot of the nonsense. But that's what when you play in Philadelphia, you sign up for that. All right, let's hear. There's another comment from A.J. Brown. Let's go to it.
You realize people do want to understand you. Like, they do want to understand you. They do want to understand.
I don't think so. The stigma between what T.O. did here and like, they always trying to pinpoint that. No, they really don't. They just put me in this bubble with him or whatever he did in the past, and I know him. He's a great person. I'm not trying to talk bad at him, but mm-hmm. I'm my own person. I don't move like that. I don't do none of that stuff. Like, you can ask any of my teammates. That's the reason why I'm on the show today. Like, I'm the person who stands up to the bully. Like, I'm the person. And people don't really understand that. And when the play is needed, I'm the person saying, throw me the ball, I get us back going. Give me the ball. Like, I'm that person. But nobody sees that. Like, I give my team energy. I give my team this comfortability to tell them, all right, keep pushing. All right, we just had a bad play. So what? Move on. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the firm person in the group. But nobody really sees that. All you see is me getting upset or whatever the case may be. And like I said, I'm human. I may not do it the best way every single time, but that's who I am. That's who I'm forever gonna be until I'm 60 under the ground. That's who I am. I'm not gonna change who I am. So if you don't like it, you just don't like it, because you might as well get in line with the rest of the people. And I'm not just talking about you guys. I'm talking about the media and whoever else. Like, I'm my own person, and I'm not afraid to speak up. And that's what I think scares a lot of people, because like today. Like, I had the boss to get on your show today. Like, I know my worth, and I know what I bring to the table.
You know what? He does acknowledge that he's got to tone it down. I'll use the phrase tone it down a little bit. But, yeah, you got to give him a lot of credit. He stood up. He stood up to it. But it just gets embellished, all these social media things. And that's all people do a lot of that stuff for, is for social media. It's really kind of a shame that way. All right, Chuck, I'm going to give you your 15 seconds of fame, or a little more than that. What's up, Chuck?
Wow, I was at 15 minutes about a couple months ago. Now I'm at 15 seconds.
He gets cut down every week.
Well, I see. You know what? You and WIP can thank me and Spike for that interview you had with A.J. Brown. Yes, I just want to let you know that, okay?
Oh, thank you.
I had something to do with that.
Oh, absolutely. You did? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what okay. I mean? You know, I ripped his ass to shreds yesterday, 2 days ago.
Well, that's not what he called it. He caught up with all the misinformation that was on the station.
No. You want to think that. And your son came on, and he doubled down on it. And that's why he called up, okay?
Okay.
All right, so, you know, thank you, guys.
And my son
you
was
know,
wrong on that. One of the things he said about him. He directed it to me, and he was wrong about that, too.
Listen, he's misguided. And let me tell you something, Howard. You called me a clown again. You know what I mean? You want somebody, you're glutton for punishment, right? You want somebody to come and shove their foot up your ass, and you say you got a doctor's degree. You got no doctor.
Wait a minute. I'm getting a doctorate on May 3rd.
Dr. Seuss? What? You know what I mean? No. What, the Dr. Doolittle? They give everybody a
Goldie Beacom College in Wilmington, Delaware.
You're no doctor.
The commencement speaker, I'm getting an honorary docket for media and communications.
You're no doctor, kid. You're no doctor.
Hey, Chuck.
Kid.
Chuck, what did you want to talk
Doc
about,
Rivers.
Chuck?
Yeah, I mean, you're Dr.
This
Rivers.
Is why you're a clown. What did you want to talk about?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, whatever, man. Listen, I'll tell you one thing.
Go
you
ahead.
You want to keep doing that? I'm going to see you one day, Howard. And I'm
hey, listen, you know, if you're going to advocate, hey, Chuck, we're talking here. If you want to advocate violence, you better go and do it somewhere else. I'm serious. You can't
There's
advocate
no
violence.
No, Chuck.
No.
Who said anything about violence? I didn't say anything about violence. I said, I'm going to see
violence.
You. What are you talking about?
Well, you put your foot up my ass.
Well, that's not violence. That's an expressionary.
Well, I'm going to come and get you. Basically, I'm going to come. Hey, Chuck, do you have anything relevant to say?
Yeah, I do have something relevant to say. Actually.
Well, make it
AJ
quick,
Brown,
will you?
AJ Brown. You know what I mean? This is what happened with AJ Brown. AJ Brown's misguided. Was it not him, right? That said a few months ago, I love the media. I love you guys. You guys are not the reason why I'm talking. Did you not say that? Was it not him?
I don't know if he was facetious when he said it. I don't know if he was facetious when he said it.
He wasn't being facetious. He said it straight up. I'm not.
How do you know? You weren't standing there.
It doesn't matter. He said it, right? He's being facetious or not. He said it.
Hey, Chuck, you have your opinions, and that's great.
Everything that he's done is his fault, okay? He has things that he could have said on his podcast or whatever to take this flame out.
Let me tell you something. The fact that he stood up and addressed all those things yesterday, you got to give him credit.
I'm not giving him credit. I mean, what did he do? He called up here and he heard people ripping him. That's the reason why he called up here, and he wanted to set the record straight for some reason. He thought he needed
Chuck,
to set the
what's,
record straight.
Chuck, what's your problem with the Eagles, Chuck? What's your problem?
I don't have a problem. I'm an Eagles fan, okay? My problem with you is that you don't rip nobody else in the city. You rip everybody else in the city.
Wait a minute.
When I say the Eagles defense sucks,
is that ripping them? Isn't that ripping them?
You sit there, you take
when I say the quarterback took many steps backward, is that criticizing them?
This coach, you sit there. Listen, Howard, my thing is this.
The players have said it's not the coach. Hey, Chuck, I gave you plenty of time, but I got to move on. I got to move on, Chuck. Hey, have a great day. I got to move on. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on WIP. Chuck, I got to move on. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on WIP.
Keep it real, Howard. Keep it real.
I'm trying to.
Hey, Howard, why do you think AJ just didn't say real quickly that his relationship with Jalen was just, normal? He had an opportunity, and it makes you think that.
But he didn't say it wasn't normal. He said it's fine.
Right,
didn't
but I mean,
say
why
it was
would it
fine?
Be like it's? I didn't hear fine. I thought he said, I'm not going to comment on that.
No, and then he said, it's fine. I think he said it's fine. One of the things, and we played so many things, I think he said it was fine. No, he wasn't going to comment on Jalen's personality.
Oh.
That's what he wasn't going to comment on.
Right, because everybody's, looking for this.
No. He said it was fine. He said it was fine.
Okay. All right.
So, but... who is the player that you think is misunderstood, Paul?
Dennis Rodman.
You think he's misunderstood? I understand him completely. I actually what's sick? This is sick. I actually partied with him one time. Now, it wasn't just me.
Well, don't you think he's misunderstood?
He's a little different.
Going to Korea wearing a dress.
He's a little different. Hey, Paul, let me move on. I got to get some calls here. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
Good, Bill. Can you make this quick because I want to get something else in here?
Sure, absolutely. My main question to you is, do you think that if Scott Boras was not Bryce Harper's agent, he would have tried to readdress his contract situation? I'm just curious of your opinion.
Nope. I think if Scott Boras was not his agent, you wouldn't hear anything about this. Nope.
I agree.
Scott Boras is a bully. He's terrible for baseball. Terrible. He's got too many players. Too many players. Hey, who's the player you think's most misunderstood, Bill?
I think that Kobe Bryant was one of the most misunderstood athletes of our time.
That's an interesting That's interesting. All right, Bill, I appreciate the call. All right, let me play one more thing from from A.J. Brown yesterday when he addresses the reports. Excuse me. He addresses the comments. I can't call them reports from Craig Carton and Derek Gunn. Here, let's hear it.
Like some of the reports we've talked about today came from a TV show on another network from someone outside of this city. And then another report came from somebody who's highly respectable in this town that's been covering this team for nearly 30 years, and he has trusted sources, so people discuss that. Other than that, nothing has really been discussed other than speculation about the team.
I understand. I'm not trying to, like I said, I'm not trying to change the media. I know it's going to be like this or whatever. It's going to be like this, and it's going to be like this when I leave. But I just truly just feel like I'm just misunderstood as a player, as a person. And you know, it gets frustrating. It gets frustrating because anything I say, anything I do, it gets magnified times 10. I'm classified as a diva. I want the ball and this and that, blah, blah, blah. When honestly, it's the other way around. When it's the other way around, most importantly, like you see me getting upset on the sideline, and you automatically think it's about targets. No. What if I'm holding my players accountable? Mm-hmm. What if I'm the guy that pushes everybody in the locker room, make people uncomfortable to try to better themselves for the team? What if I'm that guy?
You know, there's some interesting pluses and minuses to that comment. And those aren't reports that came from – he kind of walked it back a lot later in the week after I ripped him on Twitter. And he ripped me, and I ripped him. And I like Craig, and I know Craig Carton. And then I know Derek Gunn. But, you know, Big Dom is really important to the team. But I think he embellished that too. It's just – they think, you know, you need a daycare person for Nick Sirianni the way he made that report. Dom is really, really important. But when they went to the Super Bowl, it was the same Nick Sirianni with less mistakes, obviously. So, all right, Justin, we got to come up with, and there's a lot of good ones. And Kobe's interesting. I don't know if I would call him misunderstood, the last one, because I understood him. He wanted to play hard, and he just pushed people to play harder. But who did we come up with, Justin? And it's really, we kind of came with up with this together.
Yeah, we said the best answers were, you know, AI, Mike Schmidt, Muhammad Ali, Kobe. But I think Mike Schmidt is the one we were going to go with, right?
Yeah, Mike Schmidt is the one. I mean, Richie Allen, I always called him Richie because that's the way I knew him when I was a kid. And, you know, I don't know if he was misunderstood. I think we understood him, but he was hard guy to figure out. But Mike Schmidt, everybody thought he played lackadaisical and he didn't play hard, and he played hard. You can't be the best third baseman in the game all time and not play. He was misunderstood. Chris, where was Chris from?
Chris and Drescher.
From Drescher. All right, Chris, you will enjoy, and actually you're close to one of the McGurk's. You'll enjoy that $100 gift certificate from McGurk's. Great place for food, for watching games in Horsham, Fort Washington, and Lionville with another one to come. There really are. AI was good. Mike Schmidt was good. Muhammad Ali was good. Richie Allen. Kobe was interesting. T.O., I don't think T.O. was misunderstood. I think we all understood T.O. Understood. All right, Justin Morgenstein back at the studio. Thanks for your help today. Glenn and Mike Sielski are next. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, I'm going to mention one thing before I go to them, because we have Phillies baseball coming up today at 1 o'clock. Rob Thompson, with this first game lineup, Rob, you need help. You need help, and that's why I'm here. One regular, if you would call it that, only one regular in the lineup for your first game. I get it. It's early in the spring. Rojas hitting two. I mean, you got Kingery in the lineup. Castro, Garcia, I mean, it's a joke. And then Nola's pitching tomorrow because it's on TV. This lineup, and I'll say this to Rob, this is an embarrassment. I mean, those players go out there trying to play, but this lineup is an embarrassment. You need my help. Rob Thompson, you need my help. All right, I'll leave it with that. Phillies baseball. But it'll be fun to hear baseball again. Fun to hear Scott Fransky again. Really a lot of fun to hear Scott. All right, Glenn and Glenn Macnow and Mike Sielski coming up. Again, thanks to Justin Morgenstein. And thanks to everybody who called in this morning. And even thanks to my son, who is ill-advised and misadvised, and I'm trying to help. Before he gets back here every day, I'm just trying to help. That's all. Everybody have a great day. The time now is 9:57.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.